earlier this year, 70% of council tenants in London on universal credit are now in rent arrears.
Yeah, thank you for your call. I mean, I would just say if the government has said, and again, I welcome your thoughts on this. According to their analysis, those who are in work and claiming universal credit are better off by £600 a year. And they say that claimants are also better supported with tailored support from work coaches, help with housing, etc. Is that your experience? 03700 100 444. Michael Wilson is hopefully on the line from Sunderland. Hello, Michael.
Hello there.
That's lovely to hear from you. What did you want to say?
My problem was I was involved in a car crash and I got peered off. And unfortunately, I had to go under this, I'm new to the system, I had to go under this ESC. Okay, I went for an assessment, but the line of questioning was just, I had nothing to do with my actual injury. They asked us if I could use a remote control, if I could use my phone, if I read a book, what time I went to bed, what time I got up, how much socialising did I do, and actually how did I get to the assessment this morning. And I went, what's that got to do with my injury? I said, I haven't even examined us. So I'm sorry, but that's the line of questioning we've got. Anyway, I failed the assessment and I was got kicked off there and had to go on job seekers allowance. And just this week, I found out when I had to go to sign on that I've been took off job seekers allowance and put on ESEA. But they've stopped your money and the ESEA was supposed to start again on the 31st of May.
So you're facing financial hardship as a result. Michael, thank you very much for sharing that with us. Thank you all very much for your infinite patience today. Something, a box somewhere probably has come a bit wonky and we need to hit it with a spanner. So we'll go and do that now. I won't be here next week. You will be in somebody else's tender cares. I'm off with the Reith lectures. But the week after that, see you then.
Thanks, Anita. Any Answers was presented by Anita Arnand and produced by Mary Devine. Check Off, adapted by Frayne, starring Tennant. After we've heard from Jane Garvey.
On Weekend Woman's Hour today, is exam stress really any worse this year? We know the exams have got harder and we know too that social media is playing a part. But what else is happening? Here's the view of one London head.
There's a third issue, which is to do with the weight that we as a society place on these particular exams and the idea that almost a child's worth is being judged by how they perform at this particular point in their lives. And that's a huge stressor.
Hear much more on Weekend Woman's Hour this afternoon, just after 4 o'clock.
If you think that the Pia Jesu from Fauré's Requiem is one of the most sublime pieces of choral music ever written, then you'll want to hear Tales from the Stave, which celebrates the original score of that work, in an hour. This weekend on Radio 4, David Tennant stars in Michael Frayne's exuberant adaptation of Anton Chekhov's early play, Wild Honey. You can hear the second part at 3 tomorrow afternoon. Now, here's part one.
We present Wild Honey, by Anton Chekhov, in a version by Michael Frayne.
Look at it. It's like someone bursting out laughing. Let's set two off together. Yakov, bring the box. Let's set four off. Let's send the whole box full up.
Doctor!
Fireworks!
Outside, Yakov, outside.
Outside?
Yakov, come back. Take the fireworks with you now. Outside. Quick, run. For heaven's sake, the whole house will be in flames. Doctor, really, they're for later when it gets dark.
Anna Petrovna, it's all your fault.
My fault?
Of course, you're back, so we're all quite light-headed. You don't know what it's been like here in the country without you. I can't imagine how we've all survived the winter. Was it wonderful in town? Did you go to the theatre? Did you have dinner in restaurants? Did you miss us all? Are you pleased to be back, or are you bored already? If you think this place is dull when you're here, you should be here when you're not here. We all live under dust covers like the furniture. But now you're back, and the covers are off, and it's the first perfect day of summer, and when are we going to eat?
Not for ages yet. Cook's got drunk to celebrate our arrival. Are you feeling my pulse, Doctor, or are you taking a little bite to keep you going until lunchtime?
I was just thinking. You arrived last night.
On the evening train.
Where did you get the fireworks, then?
Your father sent them. He came over first thing this morning.
He's shameless. He could have waited until lunch, like the rest of us. He's coming to lunch.
Of course, we must have the Colonel.
Your other great admirer's here already, I see. Your neighbour, Porphyry. Look at him. I think he's telling your stepson about women.
No, we had real respect for them, you see.
Like the knights of old.
We looked up to them.
You put them on a pedestal.
We put them on a pedestal.
Poor Sergei. What a cruel stepmother I am. But I endured him for an hour or more first.
We loved women, certainly. But we loved them in the way that the knights of old loved them.
You had respect for them.
We had respect for them.
Your stepson's become the most agreeable of men. He goes away an artist and poet, and he comes back with his beard shaved off, and underneath, he's not an artist and poet at all. He's a very agreeable young man, like everybody else.
He doesn't need an artistic nature now. He has a wife instead.
So you see, we poor old setting stars have the advantage of you young rising stars.
You knew the world when the world was young.
You'll have us all at your feet again, just like last summer. All your old admirers. However will you bear it? Where's Platonov? You'll never put up with us all without Platonov here to amuse you.
I've sent across for him twice already.
And here comes Porphyry.
Anna Petrovna.
I'll tell the silly to run over there again.
We were just talking about the fair sex, as chance would have it.
You have always given the subject a great deal of time and attention.
I was just saying to your stepson that woman is the better part of man. Or so we believed in my day. So your late husband believed, I know that, God rest his soul. Oh, yes, your father was like me, God give him peace. One of the old school, the general. Oh, you're so hot, I must sit down. I'm quite done up.
Hello!
Oh, and here's the Colonel.
The Colonel, was it, who sent those fireworks? Dangerous things, fireworks. I'm no great lover of fireworks.
Your Majesty.
Colonel.
A 21-gun salute to the Queen of the District. Bang, bang, bang! Bang, bang!
Colonel, still ready with a salvo.
Sergei Pavlovich.
You're well, are you?
Well, I'm always well. The good Lord endures me with remarkable patience. Porphyry Semyonovich.
Fireworks.
Arrived, have they?
So kind of you. Something for us all to look forward to.
Only supporting fire I can provide these days.
He'll blow you all up if you're not careful.
A 21 rocket salute, huh? Bang, 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 bang!
Oh, don't shoot! It's your long-lost son.
Kolya!
And in the nick of time, by the look of it.
My dear boy.
Father.
Haven't seen you for what?
It must be nearly 2 weeks now, Father.
I have to come to Anna Petrovna's to see my own son. Keep meaning to call on you, never manage it, too busy.
Summer again, and your little court's assembling for the season.
It's not me you've all come to see this time, it's my new daughter-in-law. Where is she?
Of course, he's got married. There's my memory for you.
Everyone's longing to meet her.
But what a funny fellow. Gets married and never says a word about it. Talks about nothing but guns. Well, life and happiness to you, Sergei Pavlovich. Life and happiness. Is she beautiful?
Enchanting.
Oh, two queens on the board against us. We're done for.
Fetch her out, then. It's not fair to keep us all in suspense.
Especially Porphyry. He's such a great lover of women.
I certainly prefer them to sporting guns and fireworks.
But I think she's walking under the trees. I'll see if I can find her.
This is the girl for me, though. Anna Petrovna.
Your father's going to take me quail shooting.
If you're interested in birds, I could show you several quite rare species on my estate.
They're fighting over you.
Porphyry, we'll all come and see your birds, and we'll bring the Colonel's new 12-bore.
God, strike me down, but this is the girl for me. The emancipation of women in person, this one. Get a sniff of her shoulder. Gunpowder. A warrior chief, if ever I saw one. Put a pair of epaulettes on her and she'd out-general the lot of us.
You've been drinking already, Colonel?
Of course I have. Started at 8 o'clock this morning. Came over here, found everyone asleep apart from the Empress herself. Couldn't have been more delighted to see me, so he split a bottle of Madeira.
You didn't have to tell everyone.
When you come to visit me, we shall sample a glass of my housekeeper's whortleberry liqueur.
And here she is, the bride herself.
Oh, but she's an absolute bullseye.
I told you.
Charming couple.
The ideal stepson.
And the ideal wife for him.
Oh, Anna Petrovna, I've never seen such a beautiful garden. I'm quite dizzy with sunlight and the scent of flowers. And I've been walking in the forest. Oh, it's so cool under the trees, and there's a kind of faint sound in the air all the time, as if the forest was sighing to itself with pure happiness. I can't imagine living in such a place.
Well, now you do, my dear.
Oh, do I really?
It's all yours.
Oh, it's like a dream. I'm afraid I shall reach out to touch it and everything will vanish.
Aren't you going to introduce us?
Oh, yes. Now, Sofia, these are your new neighbours. The Colonel.
Treletsky. Ivan Ivanovich.
Who will take you duck shooting at dawn?
Snipe. That mighty swamp on Porfiry's estate must be full of them. A great polar expedition. We'll all go.
And this is the Colonel's son?
Nikolai Ivanovich.
He's the local doctor who will nurse you back to health again afterwards. And this is Porfiry Semyonovich, the owner of the mighty swamp. He is a... What are you, Porfiry? He is a great lover of women. Really?
I make the claim in all humility.
And Platonov, isn't he here?
Oh, yes. Sofia knows Platonov.
Only slightly.
But isn't that extraordinary?
I don't suppose he'll know me.
Of course he will. Platonov knows everything.
He certainly knows all the pretty women.
Oh, really, Colonel? We're talking about a serial scholar.
Oh, our local Socrates.
Where is he?
I sent Vasily running.
He was a student when I met him. I was only a schoolgirl. He won't remember me.
Oh, we'll see. We won't introduce you. We'll find out what kind of scholar he really is.
Oh, but it's so lovely here.
The perfect picture of country life. We're only missing one thing.
Yes, is he coming, Vasily?
Directly, he says, but it's Marco. Marco's here.
Marco?
From the magistrate.
Marco the process server.
What? With a summons?
Big envelope it is.
Oh, he's done it. He's taken us to court.
Who, Platonov?
No, no one, a neighbour.
Someone who lent money to the old general.
He's suing us for it. We've lost the estate.
Don't be ridiculous. It's all some silly mistake. Vasily, send the man in.
This way.
The old general was sick.
Anna Petrovna Anisova.
He signed anything they put in front of him.
Give it to me, then. I'll open it later.
Yes, you come bursting in here, badgering my stepmother in front of her guests.
Sergei Pavlovich Vanitsev.
Yes?
Sergei, what have you been up to?
Dr. Nikolai Ivanovich Treletsky.
Me?
You too.
My dear Anna Petrovna, if you'll allow me to be of assistance...
Porfiry Semyonovich Glagolyev.
I beg your pardon?
Not you. What, have we all got one then?
Well, not me. Wouldn't do it to an old soldier. Old soldier yourself, aren't you?
Artillery, sir.
Thought so. Corporal Marco, wasn't it?
That's it, sir. And... you're Colonel Treletsky?
That's right.
Colonel Ivan Ivanovich Treletsky?
Exactly.
This one's for you, sir.
Oh, not a man left standing.
Look at Sofia staring.
Oh, no, no.
I suppose we'd better open them.
And here's Maria Yefimovna. Maria Yefimovna, come.
Doctor, what's it say? His Imperial Majesty's Justice of the Peace...
will be at home on Sunday, June the 15th.
On the occasion of his son's christening.
It's not a summons.
No, ma'am.
It's an invitation.
Yes, sir. Oh.
Everyone, it's Maria Yefimovna. Maria, what's wrong? Yes, but we're not laughing at you.
Oh, dear, what an unfortunate moment to choose.
Poor girl. Comes 7 miles on a hot afternoon and what happens? Gets her head blown off. Same thing every time she comes here. Walks in, head blown off.
It's usually Platonov who does it.
He's not even here and already she's hiding under the trees again. It's just like last summer.
Never get her back now.
A christening? Well, I suppose I should try to find her.
I'll go. I know what it's like coming into a room full of people.
Your wife is a most charming young woman.
Go and help her, Porfiry.
We'll all go and help her. And we'll all come to the christening on Sunday. The siege of Sevastopol.
And balaclavas, huh?
See it in your eyes. Here.
Oh, thank you, sir.
I'd better go and talk to Maria.
I think you'd better stay and talk to me. Vasily, take Marco out to the kitchen and give him something to drink.
Mom.
Fancy telling us he was bringing a summons. So, it wasn't me you came to see at all, and it wasn't Sofia. It was your Maria.
I was sure she wouldn't come. I thought she'd refuse to set foot in the same house as Platonov again after all that business last summer.
I like her. I love her sharp little nose. Is she still studying chemistry?
She reads books too.
Are you serious about her?
Platonov thinks she's a fool. That's what the trouble was last summer. He's got it into that unkempt head of his that he's some kind of mission in life to rebuke fools.
I know what a fool you are. Plenty of brains in that head of yours, but they're not always much in evidence. Are you serious?
I call on her nearly every day. I make conversation, I endure the boredom, I put her poor mother in some expense in coffee, and there we are. I talk about what interests me, she talks about what interests her. Then she takes hold of me by the lapels, brushes the dust off my collar. I always seem to be covered in dust. But quite what draws me back each time, whether it's love or whether it's boredom, I don't know. All I know is that I miss her quite painfully after lunch sometimes.
So it's love, then. And here he is.
Ah, Platona!
Misha, my dear fellow!
Sergei!
And your wife.
Say hello to everyone, Sasha.
Porfiry Semyonovich.
Oh, Misha, you put on weight.
You've taken off your beard.
We've been talking about you, Platonov.
Late on parade again.
Colonel.
Keeping Her Majesty waiting.
Now we shall be all right.
At last, we're away from home.
Oh, here he is!
This is the man!
Anna Petrovna.
Cruel man. How could you make us wait so long? You must have known how impatient I should be. Sasha, my dear.
Anna Petrovna.
Out of our house at last. Glory be to God. We haven't seen high ceilings for 6 whole months. We haven't seen people. We've been hibernating in our lair like 2 old bears. We've only crawled forth into the world today.
And Sasha, are you well?
Oh,
she's
yes.
Fine, she's fine. And her ladyship's household physician is in attendance, I see. Radiant with health by the look of it. Oh, drenched in perfume by the smell of it. That haircut must have cost you a ruble or two.
You should be pleased to have a well-turned-out brother-in-law.
But how are you both? Sit down. Tell us everything. We'll all sit down.
That's this really you, Sergei? Oh, heavens above, where's the beard and the long hair?
I must just say one thing.
Sasha, my love, will you never stop talking?
Congratulations.
Oh, yes, of course.
May I wish you every possible happiness.
You got yourself married. My warmest congratulations to love and harmony all your days. Who is the lady?
You'll see.
Oh, I must confess, I never expected it of you. It's rather an about-face for a man of your views.
Well, you know me. Didn't think twice. Fell in love. Married her.
Well, we've had the falling in love part every winter. It's the getting married that's such a novel departure. You found a job?
Well, I've been offered a job in a high school of sorts, and I don't know what to do. It's not what I should have chosen.
You'll take it, though.
I really don't know. Probably not.
Oh, so you'll be letting more time slip by.
Well,
3 years now, isn't it, since you left university? You need someone to give you a bit of a kick. I must have a word with your wife. 3 good years wasted, isn't that right?
He hasn't been in the house 5 minutes and already he's flaying a sword.
Well, it's rare enough these days. Someone with clear moral standards.
My own son-in-law, the village Savonarola.
Yes, go on. How have we got through the winter without your moral refreshment?
Ah, it's too hot today to be serious. And it's far too pleasant sitting here again to be indignant at the evils of the world. I can see Sasha positively sniffing the air.
Yes, I was.
You know what it smells of here? Human flesh. And what a delightful smell it is. Feel as if we haven't seen each other for 100 years. That winter went on and on forever. And there's my old armchair. Recognise it, Sasha? 6 months ago, I was never out of it. Sat there, day and night, talking to Anna Petrovna about the nature of the world and losing all the housekeeping at cards.
I've been so longing to see you again. I was quite out of patience. And you're well?
Very well. But I must tell you one piece of news. You have grown just a shade more beautiful than before.
Oh. And you've both put on weight. Such lucky people. So, how have things been?
Terrible, as usual. Never saw the sky for the whole 6 months. Ate, drank, slept, and read schoolboy adventure stories aloud to my wife. Terrible!
Was it, Sasha?
I thought it was lovely.
Oh, Sasha, it was appalling!
It was a little bit dull, naturally.
It wasn't a little bit dull, my love. It was extremely dull. I was pining for you, Anna Petrovna.
You got back yesterday.
On the evening train.
I saw lights here at 11, but I thought you'd be tired out.
You should have come in. We sat up talking until 2.
So hot today.
and so oppressive.
I think we may have a storm.
I'm already starting to long for the cold again.
Sasha, Sashka.
I thought you were asleep.
My daughter, my son-in-law, my son, all the great stars of the Colonel Treletsky constellation.
If we're not careful, he's going to be weeping at the sight of us all. Aren't you, Father?
Weep? Why should I want to weep?
Because you always do. Look at us all. What a family. And think of your grandson.
Yes, how is the little fellow? Come and see him one of these days.
He's well. He sends you his love.
Really? Amazing child he is. Knows how to send his love to people now, does he?
I think she means metaphorically speaking, Colonel.
He's not one yet, Father-in-law.
No, he's always talking about you. He waves his little arms and he pipes, Grandpapa, Grandpapa, where's my Grandpapa?
He's 11 months old.
I want to pull my Grandpapa's moustache.
Oh, good for him. But you're not going to get me crying about it.
I don't see tears, do I, Colonel?
Stop it, no, Kolya.
All right, so how about Anna Petrovna feeding us instead?
You'll have to wait, Doctor, like everybody else.
She doesn't realise how hungry we are. It's all on the table in there. Caviar, salmon, smoked sturgeon, a great seven-storey pie.
How do you know what there is?
Well, I went and looked. Aren't you hungry, Porphyry? Be absolutely frank now.
You're not all that hungry. You just want to make trouble. You can't bear to see people sitting there in peace.
I can't bear to see people dying of hunger, fat lady.
Another flash of Quicksilver medical wit.
What a bore the man is. All right, impudence, you wait here and I'll find you something to eat.
Though it wouldn't come amiss now you mention it. I'm rather hungry myself.
Ah, here are the ladies, anyway. Now, I'll put our great scholar to the test.
Who is it?
Your
wives coaxed our little bolter back by the look of it. Took one look at us before and fled.
Who are we talking about?
Oh, yes, and now you're here.
Come in and go straight out again, I should think.
May I suggest we pay her no attention?
But just concentrate on the other one, Platonov, and tell us who she is.
Oh, it's the Beetlejuice girl.
Misha.
Mikhail Vasilievich.
Maria Yefimovna, my compliment.
And here is someone else who is longing to meet you.
One moment, it is such a pleasure to meet Maria Yefimovna again.
I don't want my hand kissed, thank you.
I'm not worthy to kiss your hand, even.
I've no idea whether you're worthy or not, I just know you don't mean it.
Don't mean it? What makes you think that?
You know I don't like it. That's the only reason you do it. It's always the same. You only like doing things that I don't like you doing.
Leave her alone, Misha.
All in good time. How are you progressing with your Beetlejuice?
Beetlejuice? What is this about Beetlejuice?
Someone told me you were trying to make ether out of crushed beetles. Pushing forward the boundaries of science, admirable.
You must always make a joke of everything, mustn't you?
Absolutely everything.
I make the doctor my model.
Platonov.
But what a charming pink your cheeks are. You're feeling the heat, I can see.
Why do you keep saying these things to me?
I'm merely trying to hold a conversation with you. I haven't talked to you for 6 months or more. Why are you getting so cross about it?
The sight of me seems to have some strange effect on you. I don't know how I've managed to upset you. I stay out of your way as far as I possibly can. If Dr. Chiletsky hadn't promised me faithfully that you wouldn't be here, I shouldn't have come.
Well, I said I didn't know whether he'd be here or not.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
Absolutely, deceiving her like that. No, you're going to cry, aren't you? All right, have a little cry then. It can sometimes be a great relief.
And she's gone again.
You're such an idiot. One more little incident of that sort and we'll never be friends again.
What's it to do with you?
Well, let's suppose, just for the sake of argument, I happen to be in love with her.
Then you'd be grateful to me for the chance to run after her and wipe away her tears.
I sometimes wonder if you're responsible for your actions. Maria Yefimovna?
Misha, please.
There was a time when we treated women with respect.
We get her back in and bang, there's her head on the floor all over again.
Yes, stupid of me. Stupidity begets stupidity.
And you never could bear stupidity.
I'm sorry.
I didn't think you were even going to notice me.
I don't believe we've met.
You don't recognise me, then?
Careful. This is a serious examination.
Future career depends on it.
Huh? No? Well, then, may I introduce my wife, Sofia Yegorovna.
Sofia Yegorovna, your wife?
Have I changed so much?
No, but here, and you're married.
This is the lady. Why didn't you say?
A little surprise.
Have you forgotten, Platonov?
A little reminder of your student days.
I was hardly out of school.
And this is his wife, Sasha.
Oh, I'm very pleased to meet you.
The colonel's daughter and the sister of the wittiest man in the world, apart from Platonov himself.
So, we're both married.
I wonder you recognise me. The last 5 years have ravaged me like rats at a cheese. My life has not turned out as you might have supposed.
She thought you were the second Byron.
We all thought he was another Newton.
And in fact, you're the village schoolmaster?
Yes.
The village schoolmaster. I find that difficult to believe. Why haven't you done better?
Why haven't I done better?
Now you're being called to account.
Well, this makes a change.
Why haven't I done better? What can I say?
You finished university at any rate?
No, he gave it up.
He knew it all. Nothing more they could teach him.
I got married.
I see. Still, that doesn't stop you leading a decent life, does it?
A decent life?
Well, boots on the other foot now and no mistake.
Well, perhaps I shouldn't have put it like that. But giving up university doesn't stop you doing something worthwhile, does it? It doesn't stop you fighting for political freedom or the emancipation of women. It doesn't stop you serving a cause.
Oh, dear, what can I say to that?
I think our Savonarola has met his match.
Come on, Misha, return her fire!
No, she's right. There is nothing to stop me. The question is whether there was ever anything there to be stopped. I wasn't put into this world to do things. I was put here to prevent others from doing them. To lie there like some great flat stone and trip them up. To make them stub their toes against me.
And shall you lie in the same place for the rest of your life?
Who's going to hinder people like him, for instance, if I don't do it? Your other wonderful neighbour.
Gerasim Kuzmich.
Colonel.
Anna Petrovna hasn't been back for a day, and already he's round here dunning it.
Platonov, please don't start, I beg of you. We went through all this last summer. Gerasim Kuzmich.
Yeah, you were deep in thought out there. What were you contemplating? Life and death, or bills and promissory notes?
And this is my wife, Sofia.
Don't talk to me about bills. Sofia, how do you do? Platonov, don't talk to me about promissory notes. Yes, of course. Congratulations, Sergei. They're nothing but dreams and delusions, my friend. They say you possess money. But when you reach out your hand for the money you possess, you find you possess nothing.
The old general didn't know what he was doing at the end of his life.
Yes, and who was there to help him?
He didn't know what he was signing.
Who sat with him to the last and closed his eyes?
You wonder at me, Sofia, and rightly so, but there's a whole world for you to wonder at here, a whole new world of fools and knaves.
Now, Platonov...
60 taverns, this fine gentleman owns.
63.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
And I should think you've drunk in all of them, haven't you?
A public benefactor, someone we all touch our caps to.
I'm also a member of a learned profession. I'm a qualified lawyer. Oh, did you know that? And I have lived a little longer than you.
Please.
No, but it's true. Some of us have lived a little longer than others.
Wonderful. And what does that prove?
When you get to my age, you'll find out.
You never knew the past, you see.
Yes, to survive your life, that takes some doing.
We knew how to enjoy our lives.
Yeah, but there's a price to be paid.
Look at them. They all bend the knee before this jumped up nobody. And why? Because they're all up to their ears in debt to him.
Now, that's enough. Platonov is very awkward for the hosts when guests fall out.
Oh, Sofia, are you embarrassed by our rural entertainments?
I find it all very illuminating.
Sometimes you go too far, though.
What have I ever done to him?
But that's the worst thing of all, that even those with some pretension to honour will say nothing. They all maintain this silence, this deathly silence.
Wake up, Papa. You can't go to sleep here.
Lunch?
No, we'll go back to sleep again.
Misha!
I prefer the company of good, honest criminals. Look, here's Osip skulking in the garden.
Oh, no.
Not him again.
What's he going to do? Invite him in?
Come in, Osip.
Sir?
May I introduce my friend Osip?
Wipe your boots then, Osip.
Osip is our local horse thief.
What are you doing here, Osip?
Waiting for the mistress. Say, welcome home, like.
Very thoughtful of you, Osip. Or part of your introduction to local society, I suppose.
Lives rough, this one.
In the forest.
Like a wild animal.
Our local burglar. and murderer, aren't you, Ossip?
I came to say congratulations. Hope you'll be very happy, sir.
Thank you, Ossip.
Yeah, look at that grin. There's a ton of iron in that face.
So what have you been stealing off us this winter, Ossip?
I haven't been stealing nothing, sir.
No?
No, sir. Been away, sir.
Where have you been, Ossip?
Been in prison, sir.
Why have you been in prison?
Because it's cold in the forest in winter.
Prison? Why have they never packed you off to Siberia for good and all? Look, he's got something hidden under his shirt even now.
What is it, Ossip?
Nothing, sir.
Nothing, he says. And nothing is what we do about it. That's why he doesn't go to Siberia. We all know he's a thief, but we all know he's a murderer too, so no one's got the courage to look inside his shirt. And that's all that stops the rest of them here from going to Siberia. They're all standing here with a bulging wad of nothing stuffed away in their shirts, and no one's got the courage to challenge them.
Platonov, really.
He's gone too far this time. There's a limit to everything, and he has gone beyond
63
it.
63 taverns this man owns. I don't suppose you've got 63 kopecks, Ossip. You're only a beginner at thieving.
Are you seriously comparing me with a common horse thief?
Certainly not. I wouldn't insult horse thieves.
Please.
Either he goes or I go.
No, you go, Ossip. You're the cause of all this.
If he goes, I go.
For the love of God, Misha, you're shaming me in front of everyone.
Stop it. It's getting like last year all over again. I won't have it. Platonov, we were all perfectly happy until you arrived.
Oh, you're on their side, are you? You don't want me here either. In that case, I'll go.
I'm so sorry.
Don't be silly. He'll calm down in a moment. Ossip, what are you doing here?
Nothing. Say, welcome home, like. I brought you a little baby owl.
Oh, how sweet. Take it round to the stables and find a box for it. Then go to the kitchen door and they'll give you something to eat. In fact, we can all eat. Lunch is served.
Please forgive me, Misha.
There's nothing to forgive. It's all over. It's all forgotten.
We all know what Platonov's like.
Yes. There's your Platonov for you, Sofia, my love.
I'm afraid I upset him. I shouldn't have spoken so frankly.
No, the man's a crank. Saving your presence, Sasha. There's no telling what will make him fly up next.
It's like having a performing bear in the house. Will he perform or will he maul you?
Gerasim Kuzmich, I haven't said hello to you.
Anna Petrovna. Could I have a word with you?
You'll stay to lunch.
Yes, but if I could just have one word first.
There's that performing bear hiding himself now. Do go on into lunch.
Your late husband's bills, if you could just give me some hope.
After lunch. There's always more hope. After lunch.
Father, please, wake up.
I haven't had lunch, have we?
Come on, Colonel, come on.
I'm sorry.
No. What shall we do without the Colonel and his family to entertain us?
Just tell me, Porfiry, did you?
Did I what?
Did you ask her?
Not yet.
My dear fellow, what are you waiting for? The Colonel will get in ahead of you.
The Colonel? The Colonel hasn't got 2 kopecks for a candle.
He's got kopecks enough to buy skyrockets for her. Behind the old summer house, Yakov showed me. Yeah. Might say more to a woman than flowers. You do want to marry her?
I'm not averse to the idea.
Well, then.
But will she want to marry me? That could be the difficulty, you see.
Of course she will.
Will she? Which of us knows the secrets of another's heart?
Lovely woman, handsome man. Oh. You're made for each other. Shall I ask her for you?
I can do my own courting, thank you. And what's it to do with you?
A man needs a wife, Porfiry. An estate needs a man. And debts need someone to pay them. I don't want to take her to court and force her to sell up. I'm a reasonable man. All I want is my money. Here she is. Now, ask her now.
I can't do it on an empty stomach. Lunch first.
Your happiness, that's all I want. Your happiness and my money.
But I can't get rid of them, you see. Nor can you, for all your eloquence. I depend upon them. It's like a very complicated position on a chessboard. If I didn't make Porfiry just a little bit jealous of the Colonel, if I didn't make the Colonel just a little bit jealous of the Doctor, if I wasn't protected from the Doctor by poor little Maria, if our good tavern keeper didn't believe he'd get his money from our great lover of women, if you weren't here to lighten my heart, why, then the Queen would fall. I should lose the estate, Platonov. I should lose everything. Then what would you do? Any of you? The lion must roar, of course he must, but a little more softly, Platonov, or he'll roar the whole house down. Yes? Mm. Now, you wait here. I'm going to send Maria out to you. I found her in tears, Platonov, so you're going to give her your paw and apologize.
Come on, they're all waiting to drink our health.
He's got something else to do first. Now wait, Platonov. Don't you dare come into lunch until you've done as I told you.
But what's all this?
I'm offering my paw to get my lunch. Sergei, you're a lucky man. She's a lovely woman, your Sofia. Are you happy?
Well, I don't know.
You don't know?
Well, are you and Sasha happy?
We're a family. We've made a nest. One of these days you'll understand what that means. Take Sasha away from me and I think I should be finished. Utterly destroyed. We are the perfect couple. She's a fool and I'm a rogue. Aren't you happy?
I suppose we are. I suppose this is what being happy is.
And here's the doctor. Leg of chicken in one hand, bottle in the other. You've been stuffing yourself already then. Have you forgiven me?
What for? Come on. We've got a drink to the great homecoming. Drink, drink, drink.
Have you seen your patients today?
Misha, once and for all, if you're going to lecture me, let's make a regular arrangement. Private moral coaching, an hour a day, 4 to 5, and I pay you a ruble a time.
Oh. Come on, my friends, let's go and drink together. Then fate can do its worst. The hell with moneylenders, to hell with creditors. Just so long as all the people I love in this world are alive and well. You're all I have.
We're all we all have.
Come on, I'm going to drink to everything with everything there is to drink. I haven't been drunk for a long, long time, and I am going to get drunk today. Oh, Maria Yefimovna. I apologise. I publicly beg your forgiveness. I burn with shame. Give me your hand. I go down on one knee and publicly kiss your hand. And now she's going to start snivelling again. Oh, come back here, Beetlejuice.
Misha, Misha, I implore you.
Can you never be serious?
Sip, where are you? Are you there?
Mum?
Here, something to eat.
We're both of us thieves, then.
And you'd be out here in the garden somewhere, hiding in the trees. Take your cap off. It's a sin to eat with your head covered. And you say a little grace now. There. That's the evening train. It'll be dark soon, and they still haven't finished lunch. Eating, drinking, singing, dancing, then eating and drinking again. My head's ringing. And they couldn't find a few scraps in the kitchen for you. Well, God be with them. As soon as it's dark, we'll be having the fireworks. I haven't seen fireworks since I was a girl. Not since people gave parties for all the officers when my father had his regiment. There it goes. Over the crossing, past our little house.
I kissed her once.
Anna Petrovna, you kissed her?
Hot summer's day, like today, in the forest here. I'm going along this track, and I look round, and there she is. She's standing in a little stream, and she's holding her dress up with one hand, and she's scooping up water in a dock leaf with the other. She scoops. She drinks, scoops, drinks, scoops again, and pours it over her head. It's one of those days when you can feel the air heavy on you, and you can't hear nothing but the buzzing of the flies. She pays no heed to me. Just another peasant, she thinks. So I go down to the edge of the stream, right close up to her, as close as I am to you now, and I just look at her. Like this, like I'm looking at you. And she stands there in the water in front of me, with her skirts up in her hand, and she bends She scoops, she pours. And the water runs over her hair, over her face and her neck, and then down over her dress. And all she says is, "What are you staring at, idiot? Haven't you ever seen a human being before?" And she scoops, and she pours. And I just stand gazing. Then suddenly she turns and gives me a sharp look. "Oh," she says, "you've taken a fancy to me, have you?" And I say, "I reckon I could kiss you and die." So that made her laugh. "All right," she says, "you can kiss me if you like." Well, I felt as if I'd been thrown into a furnace. I went up to her, into the stream, boots and all. I didn't think twice. I took her by the shoulder, very lightly, and kissed her right here on her cheek and here on her neck as hard as ever I could.
So what did she do then?
"Now then," she says, "be off with you. And you wash a little more often," she says, "and you do something about your nails." And off I went.
She's a bold one, all right.
After that, you'd have thought I'd gone mad. Couldn't eat, couldn't sleep. Everywhere I went, I could see her in front of me. Shut my eyes, there she was again. I must have looked right soft. I wanted to go round and shoot the poor old general. And then, when she was widowed, I started doing all kinds of little things for her. Shot partridges for her, caught quails, painted that old summer house of hers, all different colours. I took her a live wolf once. She'd only to say and I'd do it. Tell me to eat myself and I'd eat myself.
It's true, though. When you're soft on someone, there's nothing to be done with you. When I first loved Platonov and still didn't know that he loved me, I went through terrible torments. Wandered about the forest like a lost soul.
And now, what does he do? He dangles round her ladyship. Not much heart, that husband of yours. He's got the brains, though, and he's got the words. He could have the whole female race after him if he wanted.
That's enough now. I don't like that kind of talk. Now they're all coming out. They'll find you for sure.
Misha, where are you?
Anyway, it's no good sitting here moping after her. That won't get you anywhere.
Why should he want more women after him, though? He's got the best of them already.
Sergei, is it time for the fireworks?
Yes, but I've lost Sofia.
I'll fetch Platonov. You won't start without us, will you?
I thought she was here in the garden somewhere, but... Oh, Doctor! Have you seen Sofia?
No, looking for Misha.
Sofia!
Misha! I've got a ruble for him. Have a ruble, Sasha? Yeah. Oh, poor Sasha. Standing out here holding an empty plate all on your own. Hey, have two rubles. Sasha, have three.
Oh, no, are you as drunk as that?
I'm not drunk, Sasha. It's Gerasim who's drunk. Gave me all his money to look after.
"If I don't give this to you," he said, I know I'll only go give it to someone else.
Here, smell it. Mm. Smell. Peasant money. So, 4 rubles for my lovely sister. And if you think I'm drunk, you want to see Father.
What have I done to deserve this? Where is he?
Behind the sofa.
Oh, no use expecting any help from you, I suppose. Where's my husband?
I can't find him.
Well, find him. I'll find Father.
Misha! Misha!
Sofia! Where are you?
A reward of 1 ruble for anyone who finds Platonov!
Sofia. So you're here?
Yes, I'm here.
I follow you into the living room, you go back into the dining room. I go into the dining room, you go into the garden, I come into the garden. You run back towards the house.
You keep talking about the past. What does it matter? A student loved a schoolgirl loved a student. It's an old story. Old and trite. Too old and trite for it to mean much to us now.
Then what are you so frightened of?
I'm not frightened of anything.
Is every man you meet really such a threat to your Sergei? If I've talked to you too much this evening, if I've wearied you with my attentions, then it's because you're an intelligent and sympathetic woman. What do you think, that I want to take you away from your husband? That I'm in love with you? Huh? That you've somehow made a conquest of the local intellectual? Tamed the village eccentric. How wonderful. What bliss. What a nice box of chocolates for our little egotist.
You've gone mad.
Well, run away then. Run back to him. No one's forcing you to stay here. Hmm? Oh, so hot even now. I shouldn't have drunk so much. Why haven't I done better? First thing you ask me, not are you well, or are you happy? Not at all. Why haven't you done better?
I'm sorry.
No, you're right. Why haven't I? Teeming evil all around me, fouling the earth, swallowing up my brothers in Christ, while I sit here with folded hands. I shall be the same when I'm 40, the same when I'm 50. I shan't change now. Not until I decline into shuffling old age and stupefied indifference to everything outside my own body. A wasted life, then death. And when I think of that death, I'm terrified. Why haven't I done better? I might ask the same of you. What's happened to that pure heart you used to have? Where's the old sincerity, the truthfulness, the boldness? You ask me why I haven't done better. Do you ever ask your husband?
Oh, I'm going.
I'll do one last word, and then I'll let you go. You were so splendid once.
Oh.
No, let me finish. You were good. You had greatness in you. What in all the wide world made you marry that man?
Sergei, he's a fine man.
He's a moral pygmy.
He's my husband.
He's bogged down in debt. He's helpless with doing nothing.
Lower your voice, will you? There are people about.
I don't care. Let them all hear.
Shh.
I am sorry if I spoke sharply. I loved you, though. I loved you more than all the world. This hair, these hands, this face. And what can you do here? You'll only go deeper and deeper into the mire. Why do we never lead the life we have it in us to lead? If I had the strength, I should uproot us from this mud hole. Uproot us both. We'd leave tonight. Take the night train and never return.
What are you saying?
You know what I'm saying.
Put a ruble in front of me, Porfiry, and I'll steal it.
Oh, Sophia, where are you going?
I should, Porfiry. I honestly should, if I thought I could get away with it. Put a ruble in front of you, and you'd steal it.
I shouldn't, Gerasim. I shouldn't, you know.
Show me an honest man, and I'll show you a fool.
I'm a fool, Gerasim.
Yes, you're a fool. And it's no good sitting in there and staring at her. What kind of a way is that to win a woman? You were just sitting there like a mushroom.
I'll win her, Gerasim, never you fear. I'll marry Anna Petrovna yet.
Yes, but when, Porfiry, when? Who knows how long we've got at our age? Ask her tonight. It's a beautiful summer's night, and she's in love. Didn't you see her laughing at lunch? Didn't you see the wild look in her eye? Well, here she comes. She's looking for you. Now, quick! Before the colonel comes out, one more glass to get his courage up, and he'll go into battle. You'll never have another chance like this.
She's gone again.
After her then, Porfiry. Steal that ruble.
Sophia! Sophia! Where are you?
Sergei!
Oh, Sophia! I thought I'd lost you forever. Where have you been?
Let's go away from here.
What, away?
Anywhere. Abroad.
If you like.
Now.
Now?
Tonight.
Sophia.
Please, Sergei.
But what about the fireworks?
No fireworks.
Oh, Sophia, my love, I know how dull it is for you here.
There's a train. There's a night train.
My love, we're not that boring. But not all of us, anyway. I'm sure it would help if you talked to Platonov.
Platonov?
I know you're disappointed in him. I saw you avoiding him all afternoon. And he has become a bit of a bear, I admit. But he's not like the others. But he's someone I love. He's someone you'll love too when you know him a little better. Come on, let's find him.
Sergei, please, listen to me.
No, you listen to Platonov. I know he'll persuade you to stay, but at least until we've had the fireworks.
And here he is all the time. Our philosopher. What are you doing, Platonov? Shunning us all, pacing the garden and thinking your own thoughts. But what a perfect summer's night. Cool air at last. And the first star. What a pity ladies aren't supposed to sleep outside under the open sky. When I was a little girl, I always slept in the garden in summer. You've got a new tie.
Yes.
Oh, I'm in such an odd mood today. I feel pleased with everything. Say something, Platonov.
What do you want me to say?
I want to hear the sound of your voice. I want to hear it saying, I don't know, something new, something sharp, something sweet. Because you're being terribly clever today. And you're looking terribly handsome, and I'm more in love with you than ever. And you're being so nice. You're causing scarcely any trouble at all.
I've never seen you looking more lovely.
Are we friends, Platonov?
Of course. If we're not friends, who is?
Real friends. Great friends.
What is this? We're friends. We're friends. You're behaving like a schoolgirl.
So we're friends. But you know, do you, my dear sir, that from friendship between a man and a woman, it's only a short step to love.
Is it indeed? You and I shall not be taking that one step to perdition, however short it may be.
So you see love as perdition, do you? I see it as something noble. Why should we be ashamed of it? Why shouldn't we take that one short step?
Let's go inside and dance, shall we?
You can't dance. I think it's time you and I had a little talk. I don't quite know where to begin, though. You're such a difficult man. Now try to listen for once, not philosophize. Let's sit down. Oh, look, he's quite embarrassed. It's all right, my dear. Your wife can't hear us.
Perhaps I should say something first.
Perhaps you should.
It's not worth it. I promise you, Anna Petrovna, it's simply not worth it.
Isn't it? Now, you listen to me. Come on. Sit down. Here. Beside me. Look, if you were free, I shouldn't think twice. I'd make myself your wife. I bestow my rank and station on you, but as it is, am I to take your silence as a sign of agreement? I think in the circumstances, it's a little ungentlemanly of you not to say something.
Let's forget this conversation. Let's pretend it never took place.
You're a clown, Misha.
I respect you, and I respect in myself the respect I have for you. I am not against harmless diversion.
I know,
but not with a beautiful, intelligent, untrammeled woman like you. What, a month or two of foolishness and then to go our ways in shame? I couldn't do it.
I wasn't talking about foolishness. I was talking about love.
And do you think I don't love you? I love you for your goodness, for your generous heart. I love you desperately. I love you to distraction. I'll lay down my life for you if that's what you want. Does every love have to be reduced to the same common denominator? I love you as a woman, yes, but I also love you as a person. On top of which, my dear, I am just a tiny bit married.
You've also had just a tiny bit too much to drink and you're being just a tiny bit hypocritical. Go on, then. When your head's clear, we'll have another talk.
No, the trouble is I can't hide my true feelings from you. If only it were a game, my precious. I should long since have been your lover.
Come back here. Misha! Intolerable man.
There she is.
Anna Petrovna.
Oh, Porfiry, you quite startled me.
Anna Petrovna, you know I believe in what high regard I hold your sex. I have more than once been accused of romanticism, but for me, a world without women would be akin to a paradise without angels. And yet such is the world, during the winter months at any rate, in which I myself live. Anna Petrovna.
Anna Petrovna!
I'm afraid we've been spotted by the artillery.
Yes, I'll come straight to the point then.
Sasha, you're getting my feet all muddled up. Perfectly all right on my own.
Anna Petrovna, will you be the angel in my paradise? Oh,
She's gone! That way, after her, quick!
Don't push me! Don't pull me!
If you've no fear before God, you might at least have some shame in front of other people. Everyone's staring at you. Everyone laughing at you. It's nothing to laugh about, Kolya.
Oh, where's Misha, though?
Where's Anna Petrovna?
Vanished at the sight of you, of course.
Or something I wanted to ask her.
He's forgotten what it was.
It's not funny.
What was I saying?
You could have been a general.
Don't encourage him.
Yes, another 5 years or so and I could have been a general. If I'd been 5 years older when I reached retiring age... No. If I'd been 5 years younger when I was born... what do I mean?
Come on, home. You shouldn't be allowed inside a decent house. You're an old man. You should be setting the others an example.
You're just like your mother. Do you know that? Day and night she used to go on, this isn't right, that isn't right. Just like your poor old dear departed mother, my pet. Same eyes, same hair, same way of waddling like a goose. God, how I loved her.
That's enough now. Come on.
I will, my love, whatever you say. I haven't always been a good man, Sasha, but I loved your mother, and I never took money from anyone.
Have another ruble.
All I had to do was to dip my hand in with the rest of them and I could have been rich and famous. I could have been a general.
When you find Misha, tell him I've taken Father home.
But what about the fireworks?
I'll just have to wait for another time.
Right then, quick march. I'll tell you what, I'll carry you.
Don't be silly.
No, I'll carry you. Always used to carry your mother. Couldn't walk straight myself. Still pick her up and carry her. Come on.
Certainly not. Put your cap on properly. Smarten you up a bit.
We rolled all the way down a hill together once. Never said a word about it, poor love. Just laughed. Bless her.
Where's Platonov? I can't find him anywhere.
Nor can I. Have another ruble instead. Is it the fireworks?
Well, there won't be any fireworks if I can't find Platonov.
Won't be any...
Misha? Misha! Misha!
Sofia. Sofia, what do you mean you're going? Going where? Going when?
Away, tonight.
Forever?
Forever.
What did you tell Sergei?
Nothing.
What did he say?
He told me to talk to you.
To me?
He said you'd persuade me to stay.
Go.
Go?
Tonight, at once. You're right. It's the only way. Otherwise, I can't answer for the consequences.
Platonov. Maria Yefimovna.
Oh, Sofia.
I'm going.
Platonov, I'm sorry. But I can't bear this any longer. You seem to be following me. Everywhere I go, there you are. Are you following me?
Beetlejuice, come here, you lovely creature.
What?
You weird and wonderful woman.
Why are you kissing me?
I've got to kiss someone.
Do you love me then?
Why? Do you love me, you foolish, headstrong woman?
Well, I don't know. That depends on whether you... You shouldn't be kissing me if you don't. Do you love me?
Not at all, my precious. That's why I'm kissing you. And here he is, the man everyone wants to see.
I never want to see him again. And if you have any respect for me at all, if you have any respect for yourself, you'll never see him again either.
But he's my brother-in-law.
Oh, yes, everything's a joke to you too, isn't it? Well, you joke away together then. That's all you can ever do.
Have a ruble.
Oh, fireworks!
Oh, Sergei!
No, don't run away. We're staying. I don't know what you said, Misha, but you persuaded her. I told her you were the most eloquent man in the world. I won't forget this, Misha. Now, come on! I'm going to light the fireworks!
Yes, and I'm going to watch the fireworks. I don't care about any of you!
Fireworks! Fireworks!
Oh, my God. What have I done?
Sasha's gone.
Anna Petrovna.
She'll miss the fireworks.
What's going to become of us all?
You seem just a tiny bit less married.
How are we going to survive our lives?
First of all, by enjoying the fireworks.
Anna Petrovna.
Porfiry!
Let me say at once that I should renounce the usual rights of a husband.
And let me say one word to you, my friend.
Yes?
Fireworks!
What did she say? What did she say?
She said, fireworks.
Is it ruin or is it happiness?
Is it the beginning of a new life? Or is it the end of everything?
It's the fireworks!
Look out, everyone! We're starting!
In Wild Honey, Platonov was played by David Tennant, Anna Petrovna by Sasha Bahar, Triletsky by Elliot Levy, Sasha, Olivia Darnley, Sofia, Eva Filer, Sergei, John Hollingworth, Orsip, Forbes Masson, Colonel Triletsky, Rupert Van Sittert, Porfiri, Christian Rodska, Gerasim, Ben Onwukwe, Maria, Prishka Bakari, Marco, Nigel Cook, and Yakov by Felix Ortona Coles. Wild Honey by Anton Chekhov was adapted by Michael Frayn. It was produced and directed by Clive Brill and is a Brill production for BBC Radio 4.
And you can hear the second part of Wild Honey tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock.
Maya Angelou's memoir, dramatised for BBC Radio 4.
Annie, tell Willie he better lay low tonight. Some of the boys be coming over here later.
Empty those potatoes and onions out their bins.
You go hide them, Maya.
Ain't got no choice.
A story of racism, poverty and courage.
It was fortunate that the boys didn't ride over to the store that evening. They would surely have found Uncle Willie. And just as surely, lynched him.
Maya Angelou, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, this Monday to Friday morning at 10:45 on BBC Radio 4.
Now the return of Tales from the Stave, the music series exploring the world's greatest pieces of classical music through the scores on which they were first created. Today, Francis Fifield is in Paris to see the manuscript of Gabriel Fauré's Requiem.
If you stand right in the middle of the main aisle of the Church of La Madeleine in Paris, facing the entrance doors, looming out of the darkness above the grand main doors, you'll see the most magnificent Cavaillé Coll organ, the clock in the centre. And this would be an organ which many, many famous composers have played, including Camille Saint-Saëns and Gabriel Fauré. But if you turn round and face the altar, we know behind that altar there is another smaller organ, and that would be the organ in which Fauré was playing when he first performed his Requiem here in 1888. This church is, in a way, quite austere. No wonderful windows, no stained glass. It is still, fundamentally, quite gloomy, in a rather subdued, magnificent way. It certainly needs music.
Perhaps my instinct led me to stray from the established path after all those years accompanying funerals. I'd had them up to here. I wanted to do something different.
Fauré himself, reflecting later on the success and popularity of his Requiem, now one of the most celebrated pieces of French music, not only with audiences, but also with musicians, singers and composers.
What we've been all looking for is that kind of gentle music that Fauré does